Country Club FM.
Bob Almanac. My staff's still working. Hopefully it'll be done by tomorrow morning's Bob Almanac. A very special surprise and a special presentation. It is it's a time-consuming effort.
Wow. I know you made mention of it, but yeah, I'm intrigued, and I don't have any clue what you're talking about.
We might have to wait until Monday. I don't know. We'll see if I can get it done.
All right.
This day, Thursday, January 4th, fourth day of the year. On the Bob Almanac, 1936. Let's go back to 36. How about some 1936 music? This is the hot song.
Nice.
Stop looking, listen while dancing. Stop looking, listen, you're changing.
Joe Venuti and his orchestra with Ruth Lee on vocals.
You're in a dancing at a railroad crossing.
Stop, Look, and Listen. That is the first ever Billboard Hit Parade number one. This day,
wow.
1936, Billboard Magazine, who had been doing a music chart for a long time, but it was based on sheet music and various other things. This was the first one that was a music chart based on record sales.
There it is.
And I don't know if sheet music was still considered, still part of the formula, but it was record sales taking over the old Billboard. This day, 1936. And no, Casey Kasem was not there to introduce that one.
Not doing the countdown?
No, not at that time. So the hit parade started this date, 1936. Let's jump ahead to 1970.
Coach Bud Grant and the Vikings were out to avenge nothing. They merely wanted to be the first expansion team in pro football history to win the title. And their arsenal consisted of two potent weapons. A tough, reckless defense led by their front four called the Purple People Eaters, and an equally fearless leader named Joe Capp, who plays quarterback with the reckless abandon of a middle linebacker.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings faced the Cleveland Browns, and the Vikings won their one and only NFL championship.
How about that?
Metropolitan Stadium, they were up 24-0 at half.
Yeah. Joe Capp throttled.
Joe Capp, remember he ran over their linebacker.
Yeah.
Knocked him cold. He was
right.
He was on the frozen turf face first. I should be laughing.
I know. It was
scary.
Yeah, I just did a face plant after he kind of Cap ran him. He kind of got his knee right in the helmet and just knocked him cold. Yeah, Cap was, he was a fiery competitor.
Fearless.
Yes,
he was. And of course, as we know, his passes had nothing on them but the commissioner's signature. And that's Jack Whitaker doing the voiceover, not
Harry
John
Jallis,
Facenda.
Or John Facenda, yeah.
Jack Whitaker.
Nice.
1970 is when. I'm glad that he said Purple People Eaters. Mm-hmm. A lot of those other NFL films, you go back and watch those, John Facenda calls them the Purple Gang.
Yeah.
More than the Purple People Eaters.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had a problem with
too long
with the song, or maybe he was anti-cannibalism. I don't know why John Facenda very often did not say Purple People Eaters and instead went with Purple Gang.
Yeah,
which is still kind of fun, but
but it's not the Purple People Eaters.
And maybe he was afraid of copyright.
Well, that could be
that the guy who did who was the guy who did Purple People Eaters? Wasn't it? Brown Eyed Bana, Sam the Sham. No, who was it who did that? Somebody text in.
Yeah.
Because we need to move on to 1980 this date and Jimmy Cotta.
And I have notified the Olympic Committee that with Soviet invading forces in Afghanistan, neither the American people nor I will support sending an Olympic team to Moscow.
That's right. The boycott was on. President Carter announced the U.S. would boycott the Moscow Olympics. Neil, you're being pretty silent over there. Did you look up who sang Purple People?
No, I have. I was just thinking about that and about how mortified we were they were invading Afghanistan.
Russians in Afghanistan.
Right. And now what's going to happen next year in the Olympics or this year?
Who sang Purple People Eater song?
I'm
asking my personal assistant, Sheb Woolley.
Sheb Woolley.
I was close. I was a Sham.
Yeah.
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. I was thinking of a different one, but
Sheb Woolley.
That was Woolley Bully.
Mm-hmm.
So Woolley Bully rhymes with Sheb Woolley. So that's where that came from in my brain.
Sure.
That's where it came from, my brain. So there you go. Shibboleth, of course, did country hits as well. That's My Paw. Nothing wrong with that song.
Did a little acting as well.
What was he in?
He was in, Rawhide or something? He was in some TV shows.
Man
or
of
a movie.
Many talents. Yeah, kind of like you and I.
Right.
1982.
And welcome. I'm Bryant Gumbel. I will resist the urge to say sitting in for Tom Brokaw because enough has been said about that already. Yes. Happy New Year to you, Jerry Pauly.
Good morning, Bryant. Welcome. This is the new day we've been talking about for so long.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate it. And some of us already have worked the weekend. Gene Shalit, of course.
We want to welcome you very much, Brian. We're going to. Maybe behind now, we're going to go ahead.
No New Year's resolutions?
All right, there's Bryant Gumbel. He just called. He called Jane Pauly darling. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? Yeah. He didn't call Gene Shalit darling.
No.
Or the big weatherman. What was the big weatherman's name?
Bill William.
Not Al Roker.
No, the guy who did the Smuckers. I'm just lost.
Well, I am too. Yeah. I've lost it. That's all right. We've been doing this almanac for how many years?
Yeah,
and
brain scrambled.
Exactly. I don't know why that is.
Not sure either.
Might be time to do those mind puzzles. Sudoku?
Yeah.
Sudoku?
Or maybe just time for Geritol.
Well, that
I'm
too.
Not sure.
Centrum Plus, I would go with. So, Bryant Gumbel moved from NBC Sports to the anchor desk. He had been doing sports.
Yep.
And he was there on
the
Today Show,
to news,
this
yes.
date, 1982. How about 83?
Today, on America's biggest bargain sale, we're offering a Cadillac valued at $26,583 for $420. A cash jackpot of 80.
Willard Scott.
$1,000 for $510.
I said William.
Two of the incredible bargains on of the century.
Oh, yes.
And now, he's the star of our show, Jim Perry.
So did you like Jim Perry as the host of Sale of the Century? Or did you like him on Card Sharks?
Sale of the Century, and this could be...
I like Sale of the Century.
I love, you know, I watch Sale of the Century just to see Summer Bartholomew.
Oh, yeah. Not a bad play.
Yes, 1983 Sale of the Century debuted. It was a different concept of a game show, and... Boy, are they coming up with a lot of different... There's one now, Rob Lowe hosts. They're on the floor or something. I mean, they're trying to come up with everything, an idea. They got a new singing one hosted by the guy from Black-ish, where it's like a relative of a celebrity, and you got to guess who that one is. I might actually record that. I'm kind of intrigued by that one. I've never watched the Masked Singer.
No,
that
I watched
one was
it
just too hyped.
7-8 minutes of it once.
Right. Which, again, that can be intriguing. It can be intriguing. You're trying to guess who's under that mask.
But they have people who never sing. I mean, you don't... I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's just the way TV is now these days. Mm. So, Sale of the Century, 1983, debuting 1984.
It's the end of the game. They put 20 up on the board. 12 for Edmonton and 8 for the North Stars and fail by 1. In tying a 63-year-old National Hockey League record. It goes in the books 12-8 for the Edmonton Oilers as tonight's broadcast comes your way from the Northlands Coliseum.
That game, of course, on Receptive Channel 9 with Tom Reed and Bob Kurtz this day, 1984. Wayne Gretzky, 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points as the Oilers beat the North Stars in a real goaltending battle. It was Don Beaupre against, I would assume, Grant Fuhr.
Right.
12-8 was the final in that one. 20 goals scored. Still second all time. The Oilers, as you might imagine, the next year after in 85, had a 12-9 game with the Blackhawks. That's 21. Blackjack, baby.
It can take you a long time as a goaltender to get your goals against back into appropriate numbers when you give up a dozen.
That was a different era, though, Neil.
Yeah, it sure was.
No neutral zone trap. It was a whole different game back in those days.
Goaltenders' pads were different. Everything was
different.
Yeah,
they were smaller, and they weren't doing the butterfly, and they were always standing up, and just so many things have changed in the game. How about 84? 84, and I don't think that was the game that Neil Broughton got into a fight with Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne Gretzky's lone drop of the gloves. His only fight was against Neil Broughton.
Yeah.
And Neil won, by the way.
Yes.
And also, he spells his name incorrectly.
Right.
I'm pretty pretty sure there is a rule that if you have a television sitcom that is based on, you know, court or police or whatever, it's got to start with a great bass line.
Yeah, it
just
should.
Just like Barney Miller.
Yeah. It is TV theme time.
Yes, it is. And this TV television show, it was part of their big Thursday night lineup for many, many years on NBC.
Must-see TV.
Night Court. Oh, yeah. Night Court. NBC TV ran for 9 seasons.
I was a big Marky Post fan.
Judge Harold T. Stone. Yeah, when she joined the cast, then they really hit their stride.
Yep.
This day in 84. And there's a new one. They kind of restarted it. It's kind of a sequel with Harry T. Stone's daughter.
Yes.
As the judge. And it's got John Larroquette. I would say John Larroquette is the one reason I watch it. But it is pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to stream it on Peacock because Tegna and Care 11 thing, it's not on DirecTV,
yeah,
as you're aware
it.
Of.
Yeah.
And you don't
me.
Stream.
Somebody called me from DirecTV to give me free movie channels, and he said, I don't want the movie channels. I want Channel 11. Get that fixed. And I want to see a credit on my bill, which I didn't get, They haven't fixed it.
No, they have not. It's going on and on. And on. They're really digging in, it seems, when it comes to that.
Both sides.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that have been away.
This date, at the age of 34, Phil Lynott, lead singer of Thin Lizzy, passed away.
If you were around.
Drugs were involved. Drugs were a part of it.
Yes.
Told them you were, he lived hard, tough.
Driving all the old men
crazy. You know, at 1986, we need to remember Phil Lynott. How about this date in 89? Think about this for a little history tidbit. George H.W. Bush became the first sitting vice president since Martin Van Buren to declare himself president of the United States. That was the first time since Martin Van Buren in 1836, to be a sitting vice president to get elected president. It doesn't happen that often.
No.
Vice presidents become presidents because, you know, the president has died or was assassinated in office.
Yes.
But it doesn't happen often where the vice president is elected as a sitting vice president.
Interesting.
150 years later. And so George Bush said when he was proclaiming the new president, because he presided over everything there as the president of the Senate, George Bush of the state of Texas is what George Bush of the state of Texas said. He proclaimed himself, which Al Gore almost did.
Right.
And you could tell he was depressed when he wasn't able to do it, when he had to announce George W. Bush in the 2000 election. How about this date in 1999 in the news?
The duties of the office of governor.
The duties of the office of governor.
Of the state of Minnesota.
Of the state of Minnesota.
To the best of my judgment.
To the best of my judgment.
And ability.
And ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Jesse Ventura sworn in as the governor of the state of Minnesota, the state in 99. Remember the part of the inaugural address where he went,
have you checked out the lateral deltoid lately?
Deltoid?
Check that out.
He went to the judge. And the judge, I mean, suspiciously sounds a lot like Mean Gene.
He really does. But
I'm checking out my lateral deltoid right now, and it's not quite Jesse size, but it's there.
Right.
So
he shocked the world.
He did. Shocked the world. He was inaugurated, took the oath of office here this state in 1999. They had a big party then over at Target Center.
Right.
America, the band, was there, and they played Ventura Highway.
Perfect.
I remember that.
I do miss him every time I look at how much my license plate tabs are.
Exactly. It didn't take long for those to get back up there, did it?
From 35 to 500.
And they're finding ways to charge us more. Like, actually, your vehicle is like 130% of what it's actually valued. That's what we're going to tax you on.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's a racket. It's a racket. And what are we going to do? I need my truck.
I know.
I suppose I could get...
You drive illegally.
I get a go-kart. Yeah. I would imagine that would be cheaper.
Yeah, it should be.
2010.
Spectacular celebrations to mark the official opening of the world's tallest building. The Burj Dubai, renamed the Burj Khalifa, exploded like a giant firecracker. It officially stands at 828 meters tall.
That, to you and me, is 2,723 feet. The Burj Khalifa officially opened in Dubai, the world's tallest building. Now, let's put that into a little bit of perspective here. One World Trade Center, the new World Trade Center in New York, that stands at 1,776 feet. And yes, they did that purposely, 1776. One. So that's 1,000 feet shorter than the Burj Khalifa.
Wow. That's got to be something to see.
It's like a third taller.
That must sway a little at the top.
163 floors.
My goodness.
But they don't have a lot of land in Dubai, so they gotta build up.
Yeah,
they,
that's where the real estate is.
Yeah. Up. Diane Cannon's having a birthday today.
Something without getting too intimate. How do you know after, we'd gone out a couple of times, right?
Wait a minute. Why is she laughing?
See, there's the difference right there.
What is she laughing about?
I don't know.
She went out on a few dates with Johnny Carson. I mean, imagination runs wild there.
It surely
with
does.
What you could possibly be laughing about.
Right.
Actress Diane Cannon, there she is on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. She'd been in some movies, and she was often seen courtside at the Laker games as well.
She liked her Laker games.
And she is 87. Time for one of our favorite game shows, and it's not Sale of the Century or Card Sharks.
Oh, but I've seen something
that I gotta look this up quick.
Are you sure that there are only four Forrester sisters?
There's gotta be a dozen of them.
It seems like we do this at least 10, 11, 12 times
a
year.
Right, it's monthly. It's Guess Your Forrester. Know Your Forrester Sisters. All right.
So which one is it? June, Kim, Kathy, Christy.
It's not Christy.
We just had her.
Right. I don't think it's June.
Good memory. Because we know June's not in June, but it's closer to June than we are to June now.
I don't think it's Kathy. Who's the last one? I didn't say it wasn't.
Kim.
Kim. I think I'm going Kim today.
It's Kathy. The eldest of the Forrester sisters.
Well, all right. I'm gonna make notes over here.
Mama's never seen those eyes.
Right,
and happy birthday.
I'm gonna get one of those right before I retire.
She's 69. Kathy Forrester.
Wow.
More country. Last hit here for Patti Loveless. This was her first top 10.
What a great singer.
Love just for you.
Patti Loveless, 67. So and it was kind of a ridiculous, absurd prospect and idea. But they still did it, and it was quite popular in the 80s. The guy that played Max Headroom.
Oh, yeah.
Max Headroom. Matt Frewer.
Frewer.
Frewer. Okay. He's the Frewer. Matt Frewer, 66.
But best of all, it's got little old swagger. me. Me. And I do off-the-cuff comedy. I do links. Basically, I do a lot of cufflinks.
Comedy, I can't keep it in! That's great! It oozes out of every computer-generated bar! Stop the flood.
Yeah. Can I ask you one other question? Do you have a...
Sure, I'll go out on a date with you.
do you have a... You don't happen to have a plate in your head, do you?
I got a full set of china.
Leave it up to Letterman to kind of show up the preposterousness of the Matt Fuhrer and the Max Headroom.
Yeah.
This date 1960 or this date 1958. He is 66. How about REM?
The other night I tripped a nice continental trip to Biden Mountain, sit in a light, Leonard Bernstein, Leonard Grassnap, Liddy Bush, and Lester.
That's REM, and the lead singer is Michael Stipe. At one time he did have hair.
Right. So did I.
Michael Stipe is 64.
Great music.
He was the program director on news radio.
Dave, if you have a moment, I have a few thoughts I'd like to share with you.
Oh, yes, the Al Gore thing, yeah. Catherine, you're going to be doing the Al Gore interview, okay?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Bill, your thoughts? Why? Because I'm the boss, Bill, that's why. That's why, Bill. And I will not be manipulated, I will not be contradicted, and I will not be intimidated.
How about Dave going after
standing up?
Yes, and that was very good. Dave Foley, Kids in the Hall. Recently, we're just watching the show Fargo, the latest edition of Fargo on FX, and he's in that.
Huh?
And very good, wearing an eye patch as a lawyer. He's 61 here today, and we got Dina Carter on our list as well.
I'm just a girl, an American girl.
Wasn't she just at Rib Fest?
Yeah, I just saw her in Nashville.
Well, that too.
Yeah. She's great. She's going to be at Lakes Jam this year at BIR in end of June.
And she is 58 years old.
Uh-huh. Gone, but not forgotten today. We're going to start with one of the smartest guys in the world, at least in his time. Maybe still would be considered. I don't know what his IQ was. Sir Isaac Newton. He gave us a lot of things, you know, he kind of, right, besides gravity and, but motion and the planet stuff, and guy was a very smart man. Isaac Newton, 1643. What's your favorite Grimm fairy tale?
Mother Goose and Grimm.
Ah, well, how about Cinderella? How about Hansel and Gretel?
No.
How about Little Red Riding Hood? How about Rumpelstiltskin, Sleeping Beauty? I mean, the list goes on and on.
All these the better guys, to see you with.
These guys were skilled. And the older brother, Jacob Grimm, born on this day in 1785. He gave us Braille, Louis Braille, writing for the blind and reading for the blind. Born on this day, 1809.
Have you ever gone somewhere where they've got Braille on the wall, like for the elevator, and then you touch it with your fingers,
right,
and you go, how in the world?
I know. I don't know how
but
that's
obviously
possible.
It's possible to train your brain.
Yes, and they certainly did a fine job with that. He did.
So they're training their brain to read bumps, and we can't even think of Willard Scott.
Where does that put us?
I have no shot of learning how to do Braille.
No chance. 1809 for Lewis Braille. Sterling Holloway was the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
He was also the voice of Peter Pan Peanut Butter.
And there's a new seal of purity that seals Peter Pan fresh. To stay fresh, it's fun to eat new, smoother Peter Pan. Spreads faster than you can say, Peter Pan.
Peter Pan Peanut Butter is so great.
One of the foods that built America. You know, and he talks about the smoothness, and we take that for granted. But early days of peanut butter, it was like paste.
Yeah, well,
it was not very good. Some of the stuff you can get now, the more natural stuff, is still kind of like that. You got to stir it up.
Right. It's got a little oily residue on top.
And you like that oily residue,
don't
you? Oh,
I mix it in and then just shove it in by the spoonful.
Put some in your hair.
Sterling Holloway, born on this day, 1905. One of your favorite shows, of course, The Dukes of Hazzard. Sorrel Book was Boss Hogg.
Now you get moving or I have your tail in a ringer.
That's a 10-4, little fat buddy.
Roscoe!
I'm gone.
Gone, get flash.
Yeah, Sorrel Book played the role quite nicely, born on this day, 1930. We had Hank Stram, and now we got another coach who beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl, Hall of Famer Don Shula, was born on this day, 1930. And singer Arthur Conley.
Do you like good music? Music.
Well, we sure do.
Just long to this swinging. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are here on the floor, y'all.
No relation to current Timberwolves point guard Michael Conley?
Not that we know of. Although I'm sure he'd be honored.
Or John Conley, for that
John
matter.
Conley, no. Soul music, early soul music there. Sweet soul music. 1967 hit for Arthur Conley. Born on this day, 1946, they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Is there any other kind of soul music than sweet soul music?
I don't. Mm-hmm. It really isn't.
There's not bitter?
It really can't be.
Randy Travis, Better Class of Losers, mm-hmm. Exile, Just One Kiss, or Martina McBride, This One's for the Girls.
Exile.
WQPM, Princeton.